This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
839, David Allen in for Paul J. Chris Walton here. Todd with 1D here also in the Next Title studio. Got a great group, a good project coming up this Saturday. Bikers Against Child Abuse is with us here in the studio, and Deborah Martin is with us. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are doing well. We are doing well.
Otherwise known as?
Pippi.
Pippi.
Right. And I just knew you'd have red hair somehow. I just had that feeling.
Yeah. No ponytails, but red hair.
Not bad.
So tell us a little bit about Bikers Against Child Abuse.
Bikers Against Child Abuse is a 501(c) nonprofit organization. It is an international organization. We are pretty much everywhere. We basically stand up for children that have been abused, empower them to live in a world that without fear. So
in some ways, you just want to create a safer world environment for them.
We
right?
do. We create a safer world environment. We'll go to their homes if they're scared. We'll take them on motorcycle rides. We always give them a bear and a cut. We give them their own road name. We make them part of our family. You know, and if you know anything about the biker community, we're all family and we protect our families. So. Yeah. You know, you don't mess with one of our brothers and sisters, so we make them one of our brothers and sisters.
I'll tell you this. We have a number, during the year, we have a number of biker functions that, you know, that we help advertise.
Yes.
And they're all always successful. And they're just, you know, the most sincere group of people I've ever met in my life. Always.
Oh, yeah. Happen. Oh, yeah. They're only mean when they have to be.
Now, there's an awareness ride, and it's coming up this Saturday. Tell us about that.
We have our annual 100-mile ride. We will ride 100 miles. We'll start at Cruise and Biker Wear in Meridian. Mm-hmm. We will end at the Poorhouse in Marsing. And we'll have a raffle.
It's a great place to end.
We have a raffle. We have an auction. We have several items that have been given to us that has been donated, so from several different places.
Yeah.
We'll have food and, you know, just good times.
Now you said you guys are everywhere. How did it all get started?
Actually, Baca was started by a man in Utah. He was a play therapist for children. He noticed that there was a need between the courts system and the therapy system, and then what happens outside. Law enforcement can't be everywhere. They can't be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And a lot of the times, to get these children so that they won't testify, so they're afraid of what's going to happen to them, family and friends of the perpetrator and the perpetrator themselves will harass these children. They will harass these families.
Wow.
They will, you know, do things to these kids that you and I would think would be just astronomical.
Unthinkable.
You know.
Yeah.
These perpetrators are going to do anything and everything to defend and protect themselves from because what they do is not wrong to them. So law enforcement can't be there. They can't sit outside this child's house at 2 o'clock in the morning waiting for this perpetrator to show up. They can't do things like that. One, they don't have the manpower to do it. And two, their job description, it's against the law for them to actually do stuff like that. So that's where we come in, you know. All of us have jobs. All of us have careers. All of us have something other than Baca. But we stop what we're doing to stand outside that child's home at 2 o'clock in the morning or to sit there in an easy chair with that child in your lap just so they can sleep at night. You know, we'll be there at school if these children think that it's going to happen at school. You know, we'll go to the school. We'll talk to the principals. We'll surround the school. We'll be there, you know, so that these kids can see that they are not alone. They are protected. When they go to court, we're right there with them.
It's amazing.
We're in the courtroom. We're, you know, we're there.
It's amazing how when you surround a school, that sends such a clear message.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How does Baca find out about the children? Does the court get a hold of you guys? Does social workers, word of mouth? How does that happen?
It depends on a lot of things. The legal guardian has to be the one to contact us. They're the ones that have to get a hold of us. They're the ones that have to initiate everything. And what I mean by legal guardian is the actual person that care, the mother, the father, the grandmother, the grandfather, even the social workers, because when they are a state ward, the social workers are their legal guardians. Mm-hmm. So the social workers, the foster parents can even get a hold of us and get us involved. It just all depends on who the actual legal guardian is. So.
Tell us, is there some contact information? I'm sure there are people who are hearing this for the first time, and they might even know a child that needs this kind of service. So what's contact for you guys?
For the Treasure Valley chapter mm-hmm. of Bikers Against Child Abuse, we have our helpline, which is 1-208-495-5437. And that's just in the Treasure Valley area. We do have three chapters in Idaho. Mm-hmm. We have one chapter in northern Idaho that is going into temp status now. So they are a temporary chapter until they get their full chapter.
Okay.
So we'll actually have four chapters in Idaho eventually. So we are just now a new state as of October. So
for the awareness ride, which is this Saturday,
mm-hmm.
what time does it start? And do you need to register, or can bikers just show up and everybody participate?
Registration is at 8:00.
Okay.
Then kickstands up will be at 10:00. Once we get everybody done, we'll do the morning prayer, and then we'll kickstand up and head out.
And the name
of
the meeting place in Meridian? It's
Cruisin' Biker Wear Cruisin' off Biker of Main.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Perfect.
We'll be in the back parking lot.
That's a great name, too.
Yeah.
It's a great group. It's great that what mm-hmm. you guys are doing because, you know.
All the money goes toward everything that we raise on Saturday. It's all going towards the kids. It'll go towards buying their vests. It'll go towards the bears that we give them. It goes towards them. Any therapy fund that they might need that they can't afford to pay for, that'll go towards that. You know, things that make them feel safe. If we have to go out and, you know, help them to make their property or make their house safe, then we do that.
You guys seem like a caring and a very generous group, and we really hope you have a successful ride.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in. Ride safe Saturday.
Gladly.
Very good. 8:45.
Boise River flows are increasing, and by sometime tomorrow, it'll be the second highest all time. Details coming up on 670 KBOI. Back now to David and Chris.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
8:51 at 670 KBOI. I'd like to thank Baca for coming in this morning. You know, we just got a few minutes here till the top of the hour, so I don't want to get into anything heavy, but bikers, as Deborah was saying, they're a tight family group, and I rode motorcycle from the time I was 18 till the time I was 40.
Right.
And there's not a time that you don't go. Bikers, when they pass each other, everybody gives the other biker a heads up, like, hey, good to see you. Good to be part of the fraternity.
Right.
And bikers that ride Harleys, dress in a lot of leather, obviously have, you know, bandanas,
mm-hmm.
lots of tattoos. So there's the perception that, oh, it's a biker gang and all this. I don't know that you'll find a better group of people, whether it be for a teddy bear run or a Christmas present run, or to go around when veterans are being buried. And, you know, that one group out of Oklahoma wants to go around saying, you know, your son deserved to die because of...
Oh, you mean Kansas, but yeah,
Kansas,
exactly.
Because God hates gays.
Yeah.
And I don't know what those two things have to... But they'll circle the funeral, mm-hmm. the place, and so that they can't get anywhere near and nobody can see the protesters.
And so many of them have been in the military.
Yes. And they
and
just...
They're a caring bunch of people. You know, and if somebody would criticize them, you know, for the way they look or something, I'd say, you know, I can see that you don't have any tattoos, you don't wear leather, you don't have a bandana. How many charity events have you attended this year? Because they have them all the time, and for some really good causes.
And like I say, I never rode a Harley. I always rode a Japanese bike, which Harley riders hate those bikes. And I never rode without a helmet, and mm-hmm. I have no tattoos. But it's a fraternity. It's a group of people. You all are. It's an us against them mentality because cars are so much bigger and everything, and you just have a shared vision of freedom to ride.
They're a little different. I'll say biker groups because, you know, they're not so many of them are really gangs. They're just groups of people,
yes.
And they're a little different than you usually see them portrayed in the movies.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In the movies, I mean, these guys who are in biker gangs and stuff, that's all they do all day long.
Yeah.
No, but these people have regular jobs and careers, and they do things, and they get together, I mean, on the weekends sometimes or different places and ride motorcycles together. It's a lot of fun.
So let me ask you the WannaCry cyber attack, and I see here the article in USA Today.
And that's the name of the cyber or the program that is being sent out.
It's called WannaCry
because that's what it makes you want to do. You want to cry.
So if for some reason they had hacked into your computer at home or your iPad or something and it said, send us 50 bitcoins, would you have done it?
Well, number one, I would have had to learn how to do that.
I thought that last night on the news, too. I went, I don't know what bitcoins are or how I pay for this.
I mean, I know what they are, basically, but I've never had a transaction involving.
They don't seem like real currency
involving,
to me. So.
Involving bitcoins.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there's that much stuff on my computer that would be impossible to replace. I mean, I suppose I'd want my computer back the way it was, and I'd want all the information back the way it was. But I don't know. I mean, I just don't know how much money I'd be willing to pay for that.
Yeah, see, that's what it comes down to. It's like anything.
If you're a business or a big organization or a corporation or a country or something, then and they say we'd like $1,000, you go, oh well, okay, fine. Well, you know, we'd spend more than $1,000 trying to figure out how to do it ourselves.
Yes.
So yeah, here's your $1,000.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what they count on. You know, people who don't want to have to hassle with it just pay. And that's why they never ask for like $10 million
no.
or you know, they never turn into what's the Austin Powers villain.
Yeah, they want to nickel and dime you to death, basically.
$10 billion.
Because
no, they figure, you know, they'll get away with it if they don't charge too much money.
To get your network back up and running maybe cost a company $10,000. And if all they're asking for is $2,000, it's easier to just pay that. But the problem then becomes that if they just still end up destroying the paperwork that they have, then you've paid the ransom and you still lost your information. Or worse yet, you've opened yourself up to always falling for that ransom thing.
Well,
because there's no way to make your network 100% safe.
One would assume, I mean, you know, what's to stop them from doing it again the very next week?
Yeah, exactly.
We had a commercial this morning. We were talking about this. And the commercial said, you can't necessarily know when you're going to get hacked, but we will help you recover from that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a terrific service.
And other than money, which obviously these guys want money, why would you become a hacker? What is it? Just the thrill of the chase try to get in someplace you can't?
I don't know. Because essentially what you're doing, to me, it's like the same people who are, who commit vandalism and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but they have no problem just spoiling. I think some of them are actually sociopaths because they have no problem spoiling what other people are doing.
Yeah.
I've always had a problem with stuff like that. I've never thrown a rock through a window.
Nope.
I've never, punched anybody. I've never done any of those things simply because I don't want to hurt someone. I don't want to mess up their deal. And there are plenty of people out there who've never felt that way. I mean, it's, you know, they look out for number one and they're kind of number two.
Well, the reason I've never, I got that.
Yeah.
There's a reason I've never done any of those things because I never want any of those things done to me.
Well,
I don't want a rock thrown my window
or for me to be punched in the face. It's almost like somebody thought that up a long time ago.
Hey, what do you know?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back after the top of the hour news, national and local. Then Chris and I will be here to talk about the weekend that was and all the turmoil around the White House on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show, 906. David Allen, Chris Walton here in the Next Title studio. I have an article from USA Today today. Saying Trump's credibility gap doesn't even matter anymore. Let me read you a little bit here.
Now, you'll have to explain credibility gap, I guess.
Yes, I will. President Trump drew the biggest inaugural crowd in history. Except he didn't. President Obama wiretapped Trump Tower during the campaign. Except there's no evidence that he did. Trump fired FBI Director James Comey because the Deputy Attorney General concluded that he mishandled the Hillary Clinton email investigation. Except now the president says it was his decision alone and cites the Russian investigation as one of the reasons.
So there are some contradictions.
Yeah. On issues big and small, substantive and cosmetic, The Trump White House has failed to give accurate accounts of what happened until photographs, records, reporting, and in some cases, the president's own words provide a new version of the facts.
Why do I feel like the word but is coming up?
Even when confronted with evidence, the president and his spokespeople don't always acknowledge the need to correct a falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't seem to bother Trump. It is not possible for my surrogates to stand at a podium with perfect accuracy, he tweeted Friday with apparent good cheer, then mused about canceling the daily press briefing. Later, Press Secretary Sean Spicer didn't make it clear whether the president was serious or joking about upending a fixture of White House operations since the Harding administration, and he couldn't expand on a separate tweet from Trump suggesting now, he might have recorded his conversation with Comey.
If anybody would have been better off hiding from the press, it was Warren G. Harding.
Warren G. Harding, that's true. Concerned or not, Trump now faces the biggest credibility gap of any president since at least Richard Nixon during Watergate, a scandal that forced his resignation, or Lyndon Johnson during the Vietnam War, a spiraling controversy that prompted him not to seek a second full term. For LBJ, it was the disparity between the official version of the war's course and the reporting from the front lines that added the phrase credibility gap to the public lexicon.
Yeah.
I wrote a book about what goes into making great presidential leadership, and one of the elements I said was credibility and trust, said presidential historian Robert Dalek, author of Hail to the Chief, The Making and Unmaking of American Presidents, as well as biographies of Franklin Roosevelt, John Kennedy, Nixon, and Johnson. Whether presidents lose the trust of the public, I think it's very difficult, if not impossible, for them to govern this. When presidents lose the trust of the public, I think it's very difficult, if not impossible, for them to govern this country. On Trump, Dalek warned, his credibility is very shaky. The controversies have taken a toll on America's view of Trump. In a Quinnipiac poll this month, those surveyed said by 61% to 33% that Trump wasn't honest. That is a 28 percentage point underwater rating on honesty, double the 14-point divide he scored in the same survey at the beginning of the year. The poll was taken before the latest and most spectacular example, the decision to fire Comey.
Yeah.
The White House Tuesday night, Spicer said the decision had been made by Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who had criticized Comey's handling of the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email.
I don't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine.
I just feel like they'd have been better off in that whole thing if they'd have said, well, there were many reasons, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the president has been considering this for some time, plus we got a recommendation from, you know, people at the Justice Department, plus this, plus this, plus this. And I think that would have been fine. But when you say it's one reason and then somebody else later that's supposed to be speaking for you says there's another reason, people are like, well, which is it? You know,
and
it's like I said, it doesn't always have to be one thing.
Yeah. And here's where the issue comes in, because that was Tuesday night that Spicer says that. Then on Thursday, Trump told NBC's Lester Holt that he had decided to fire Comey regardless of what Rosenstein recommended. And he cited a different reason. When I decided to just do it, I said to myself, I said, you know, this Russia thing with Trump and Russia is a made up story. It's an excuse by the Democrats for having lost an election that they shouldn't have won.
No, that they
should have won. So he contradicted himself.
Yeah.
Trump's decision to dismiss the FBI director has rattled official Washington, stoked what Democrats already call the resistance, mm-hmm. and fueled reporting that the president is about to shake up his senior White House staff, though the fiercest controversies have centered on the president's statements, not those of his aides. Questions about whether Trump will stand by his word imperil the administration's effort to negotiate a health care compromise and a major tax package with members of Congress.
And I know a few weeks ago, I assume this was kind of a slip up because there was, you know, you remember a reporter was asking him, do you stand by the statement, whatever it was at the time? And he says, I don't stand by anything.
Yes.
And I thought, well, okay, that's a strange thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of understand what you're talking about here, but it's still, you know, you may want to word that a little more delicately. You know, it's like Raul Labrador a couple of weeks ago. He said, I said inelegantly.
Yes.
And yes, I mean, there's a way to say things that are tough to say, and then there's a way not to say things that are tough to say.
Frank Donatelli, who's a Republican consultant and a political director in the Reagan White House, said this: presidential credibility can enhance public approval, as in he acts on what he believes.
Mm-hmm.
Noting that personal popularity helped Reagan and other presidents succeed even when support to specific policies was lower.
Yeah. Well, and that's true. I mean, there were people who opposed them politically and opposed their ideas and, you know, in fact, were diametrically opposed. But they still believed that they could count on those guys' consistency.
Yeah. That's one reason a president's approval rating is so closely watched. A president's influence over events is directly related to the standing with the voting public. members of Congress will be more deferential to a president with strong public support. So my question...
Well, because, you know, members of Congress are those guys that sprain their ankle hopping off the bandwagon.
Yeah, and then back on sometimes, depending on what poll they're reading.
Exactly.
Then my question becomes at 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on the Verizon Wireless, does the president's credibility, or lack thereof, depending on your perception, hurt his ability, and we're only 110 days in or whatever it is, for the next 3.5 years?
And I'll throw this in there, too. I mean, there are people who think that there is nothing wrong with his credibility, but that, you know, he is so new at the political game that when he describes something, he doesn't do it, you know, like the average politician would. You know, he hasn't got the lingo down yet.
Exactly.
And then there are other people who just say, well, that was just a clear contradiction, and that's all it was.
913, we will talk to you next. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. It's David and Chris on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
918 at 670 KBOI. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. KBOI rewards code, credibility. 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 Go to KBOI.com, enter that keyword, credibility, get your 5,000 rewards points, which gives you instant credibility.
or gives you instant credit anyway.
Exactly.
For doing that.
We're talking about Donald Trump's credibility gap. And it's the largest of any credibility gap since Nixon.
And the credibility gap just simply is the difference between what you say, I guess, and how many people believe you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 919, Steve in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you. You know, what I found is that the credibility gap is really in the media. And I think it's because of the fast political sway that they think they have. And it didn't work this time. And so they're always out there trying to attach motive to action. If you listen on the news, they'll say the stock market is down because of the war in Vietnam or something to that effect. And they want to attach some kind of a subliminal message along with just the facts. And I think we should be talking more about that credibility gap. You know, when there's some parity in the media and it's not 93% one political party, and then the media comes up with two different things, and then they come to a consensus. But what happens now is the news is written by two operators, and then that is passed around all around the country. Mm-hmm. And I think Rush Limbaugh really hits it when he has one of these laughable moments when they all use the same word.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember when Dick Cheney was going to be the vice president, they talked about his, what was that word they used?
Gravitas.
Gravitas. I'd never heard of gravitas until the media did it. And it was on one of their shows. Where did that word come from?
It's, well, Latin, but it's like veritas, only not nearly as truthful.
Well, and that's the problem. We're having a credibility gap because we don't have the truth. We're trying to attach motive to an action, like Comey's firing. The president has the option to fire the directors. I mean, they're part of the executive staff.
But do you think, Steve, sometimes that Trump shoots himself in the foot, and rather than tweeting something out or saying something off the cuff, he should take a step back to figure out what the message is going to be from the White House? Because Tuesday, you know, they come out and say, well, we fired Comey because of this. Then Thursday, he completely contradicts that, so that either Trump looks like he's contradicting himself, or he looks like his people, that are his aides, are contradicting himself. So questions arise out of all of that.
Yes, and when you're trying to please a media, you're going to have that. I don't know one politician that can say one thing truthfully. Well, if you tell the truth, that's it. You don't have to worry about something. But yes, I think he speaks too much. But you know what? The media is focusing on him and doing their best to get him out of office.
All right, Steve, thanks for checking in today.
For a Watergate moment.
Yeah, thanks for checking in today, brother. We appreciate it.
And I've told people, I've said this several times over the past month or so, what we've been doing at home is we'll watch maybe an hour of Fox News, and then we'll watch an hour of MSNBC, and then go back and forth between the two. And oddly enough, we kind of skip CNN most of the time.
Really?
Because I don't know. It's just, to me, it's very interesting to watch Fox News and MSNBC because you see the exact same story. In fact, it's really a lesson in journalism because you can see how the exact same story can be attacked from two different, and I use attacked correctly, by the way, can be attacked from two different sides and come up with two completely different endings.
At least
anyway.
Perspectives, exactly.
Well, perspectives, yeah. Because when you watch Fox, they tend to say, okay, here's what, and it's usually somebody Republican, here's what somebody Republican did, and here's why it makes sense. Then you watch MSNBC and they say, here's what a Republican did and here's why it doesn't make sense. And here's what a Democrat did and here's why it did. And, you know, what's funny is they both, let's say that you just landed from Mars and you don't know anything about the past, you would think that both of them really have a point. And if you only watched one of them, you would think, well, that's the truth. That's all it is. You
sure.
know, it's always this way. On Fox, the Democrats are mad about something, and so they're pretending the Republicans are guilty of something. And on MSNBC, the Republicans are just guilty of something.
Mm-hmm. Jeff in Mountain Home, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Fairly well. Yourself?
We are doing well. Thank you very much.
That's good. Well, Steve sort of had it, but you're just talking about it. It's getting to where it's basically propaganda. And if you look at the whole... Well, you know, almost everything about Trump, he's New York Times, Associated Press, whatever, it's all anonymous sourcing for a year on the same subject. And you're going, okay, guys, where's somebody on record?
Yeah.
And the only people they have on record are experts they pay to come in and give their opinion.
You know,
and you're going,
I took journalism classes when I was in high school and college, and they told us that anonymous sources were not a good thing.
Right. But you notice almost everything. In fact, there's some classic examples in the last couple of months where there's 12 different things brought out in an article, and every one of them's an anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, okay, so I can set up my computer and make up that story and attribute it to anonymous sources, and now I'm going to, let's say, Spicer or somebody and go, disprove everything I just wrote. It's like,
well, and you make,
how can I do that?
Yeah, you make a good point. Anonymous means that we don't know your name, but to some of these people, I think anonymous means the source doesn't even have a body.
Right. And so we really are getting into, it just depends on kind of who you believe. And I don't know if you remember, a week or two ago, they did one of the polls, and Trump beat the media by like 10 or 15% in believability. he was in the 30s and they were in the low 20s. So you're sitting there going, well, you know, for like your USA Today story, the media to come out and talk about Trump's credibility problem, you know, and 3/4 of the Americans don't believe what you write.
And you've actually hit upon the reason, and David did too earlier, when you hear contradicting stories. Like, from the media, now people, you know, they act like the media is all one big thing. And, of course, it's not necessarily because, mm-hmm. you know, there are tons of companies that own different media outlets and there are things on the Internet and television. And like I said, you know, we watch MSNBC and Fox to get two completely different angles at something. But when you hear contradicting stories, you think, well, you know, these guys don't even know what they're talking about. And the problem is lately that you're getting contradicting stories just from the White House. And, of course, they're from different people. Like, you know, sometimes
sure.
it'll be Sean Spicer. Sometimes it'll be the president. Sometimes it'll be some other person just talking. And sometimes they'll be speculating, and people will take speculation as if it's the gospel mm-hmm. truth. And they'll say, well, why did you tell me two different truths here? And they say, well, we really didn't.
Jeff, thanks for the call today. We appreciate it. 9:26, news is next, and then we'll talk to you more about Trump's credibility gap on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
9:36, David Allen, Chris Walton with you. We've got about 25 minutes left in the show. We are discussing Donald Trump's big credibility gap, article this morning in USA Today regarding this. Let's go back to the phones. Billy in Fruitland, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you. Appreciate your show immensely. I'd like to congratulate Paul J. on his 50 years.
Pretty amazing.
Yes, it is. And I have very fond moments of being in the stand with Paul J. when he was doing the racetrack at Le Bois. And anyway, let me get to the point. And thank you, Paul J., if you're listening. I personally, my opinion is this, and you guys haven't touched on it, but I believe that our president is a George Washington, James Monroe kind of guy. He is a foreign dictator with other countries. I'm a registered Republican. I believe that the man is very solemn in his word.
Mm-hmm.
The way he's dealing with Korea, the way he dealt with Syria, I believe the man has more to offer than any other man that has ever sat in that chair. We've gone through 8-9 years and then taken to Hillary's deal with all of her crap, excuse me. But he is a man of man. He's a gentle giant, and he is not going to take any crap from any other country that is going to oppose our democracy, our republic. I am so enjoyed and enabled by this man that I have a hard time describing it in proper terminology. If I were to sit down with a group of individuals, intelligent individuals, and speak as my father did, we would all have good conversation. But Mr. President Trump, and I know all you guys, and it's cool, I listen to Rush. I don't even have a TV in my house. I listen to radio. And Sean and Cunningham and Levin and these intelligent individuals instruct and give me thought processes. And all, okay, bottom line, I'm not going to take any more of your time.
Okay.
And I thank you. I thank you so much for the jobs that you guys do.
All right, Billy, thanks for the call. We appreciate you checking in today. I think he's a fan.
Well, yeah, and I think there were people that the last 8 years were looking for a harder line on foreign policy.
100% agree.
And that's kind of the case with, well, I think it's one of the reasons that we'll have, you know, a few years of Republicans and then a few years of Democrats and a few years of Republicans and on, because there will be something that the Republicans do very well that people like.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, they will concentrate, and maybe they are the press or maybe they are just the regular people. I don't necessarily make a distinction. But people will start concentrating on what that particular party doesn't do quite as well, or what they at least perceive them not to do as well, and so they elect the other party. And then either 4 or 8 years go by, and they think, well, let's reverse this again.
Genius.
And so to a certain extent, the way Trump deals with other countries is a big part of his popularity.
Exactly. Rich in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Well, hey, one thing, I that last caller is probably correct. He does get all his information from one source, Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. But this has just been an hilarious conversation. I mean, Steve's getting on there, and all the excuses they're making for Trump's lies, they went on, they get these down pat things that they hear from Rush, like, the media's using anonymous sources. No, it wasn't. It was Trump that said 3 million illegals voted. He was the one using an anonymous source. It was Trump that said that Obama was illegally wiretapping him. That was there. He didn't give any sources. I mean, we're talking about Trump's lies. I've never accused Trump of lying from anything I heard on an anonymous source. All of his lies come directly from him.
That's why I asked Steve if the fact him shooting himself in the foot sometimes by tweeting out rather than sitting back and thinking if that hurts his credibility any. I brought that up with Steve.
Yeah, well, Trump does. I mean, he just. I think he's got a mental problem. I mean, how many people could? I mean, everybody probably lies a little bit, but you're not to get up there in front of people and lie about stuff that can be easily be proved wrong, and then when you're proven wrong, still deny it. That's a problem. But it's not anonymous tips. It's not the press. But or anybody making up these things that Trump's saying.
I guess my question...
I mean, we should just go on what Trump actually said.
I guess my question for you, Rich, is to go back to the original topic, the credibility gap, does that hurt him for the next 3.5 years?
Oh, it's going to, because the people in the media, some of them are just rolling their eyes. They're just mocking him because it's so ridiculous that the things he says. And when it comes down to something that we really need to believe, and maybe it's kind of a hard thing to believe, or you got to use the president's word because they can't tell you everything. We won't be able to believe anything that Trump says at all. I mean, his lies are his own words. They're not somebody else. You know, I'm not talking about the Russian thing, somebody accusing him of doing that. But his lies are things that he directly says.
All right, Rich, thanks for checking in.
You know, in the interview with... last week, you know, we sat down with Lester Holt.
Yep.
There was at least one point in there where Lester Holt basically said something to the effect of, well, you know, what's your source on that? Or how do you know that? And what Trump said, and he says this a lot, and I kind of wish he'd figure out some other way to say this. He says, you know that, I know that, everybody knows that, everybody's talking about it. Well, I mean, that could be said of gossip, too.
That's true. All right, it's 9.
Just because everybody's talking about something doesn't necessarily make it so.
Are you sure?
Well, that's what I've heard.
Okay, well, there. Who's saying that? Everyone's talking about it. 9:44. We'll try to get as many calls as we can after the break on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
9:49 at 670 KBOI. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you till the top of the hour. You have instant messages.
H.G. McCall says for years folks were yapping about it being time to have non-politicians in the federal government. Well, now we have one in President Trump, and he isn't behaving like a politician. He is the president, and he does operate differently than the usual, but isn't something different what many of us wanted. We'll see how it goes.
And, that's true. A lot of people voted for him because he wasn't a politician.
Gary of Emmett says, let's see, commissioning polls, phrasing poll questions to get desired answers, then using those polls to shape opinion is coupled with wild inaccuracy because people have no landline phone in many instances and regularly lie to pollsters. Explains how the polls were so far wrong predicting the winner of the presidential election.
John and Eagle, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Good. Good morning, guys.
Hello.
I'm going to push through this fast because Rich just throws me off the deep end, so I'll try to ignore what he says. You mentioned Lyndon B. Johnson and his credibility gap, and then you brought up Richard Nixon, and then he jumps clear over to Donald Trump and his the credibility gap with the James Comey thing. And the deal with James Comey is that was, and Sean Spicer said this on the news, I don't know why you didn't pick it up, said that was just, frankly, the last straw, was the recommendation of the DOJ to get rid of him. He had already been planning on getting rid of him. The fact is not that he's going to be fired. The fact was when he's going to be fired. And that just sped up the process that was already in President Trump's mind. Now, backing up, what about the credibility of, you know, Bill Clinton? You know, I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. What about Barack Obama saying, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor? I know that's a beating a dead horse, but look, that's a question I want. That's the reason why I voted for this guy. We want that question answered. I want my health care back. And he said that was going to have the health care proceedings televised on C-SPAN. That didn't happen. If you are an average family, you're going to save $2,500. That didn't happen. In fact, we had to pass the bill so we could see what was in the bill. Talk about a credibility problem.
But see, the thing
is that ignored?
No, John. What I wasn't ignoring, there's obviously credibility gaps with Reagan and Bush and everybody.
And
I was saying that this is the biggest credibility gap since LBJ and Nixon. I wasn't saying the other presidents didn't have them. I was just saying this is the biggest since those two.
Yeah, but again, that's according to polls. And, you know, some people, like that last email, doesn't believe the polls necessarily.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Me and my wife have got together. We've promised to pray for Donald Trump every single morning. And we used to pray for Barack Obama as well, but it was like dirt coming out of our mouth. We just didn't know what to say. You know, how could you fix that mess?
Because you always want the office to do well. Because if the office of the presidency does well, then the rest of the country usually does well.
Generally.
Well, you guys have a good week.
All right, John. Thanks. Have a great day, man.
What we never hear about, you said those credibility polls started coming out in the early 20s with Warren G.
Harding. Yes.
And his wasn't very high. And, you know. And then he died in office, so he avoided any kind of prosecution for teapot dumb and some of those things. But I wonder who, of all the presidents after that, you know, Coolidge and Hoover and Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, I wonder who had the highest.
The highest gap, or the highest likability?
Not the largest gap. The most credibility. I mean, who did people believe the most? And chances are, you know, chances are about half the people are always going to think that what you're saying isn't true, and about half are going to believe you.
I would have no idea about that, but my initial guess would be FDR, just because he won.
Well, yeah, he was president for like almost 13,
four terms,
almost 13 years.
Yeah, so I would guess that. But all right, let's wrap it up. Mike in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Good. Good morning. A couple points. One is, it is very obvious that President Trump is not a politician.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't get the canned speeches. We don't get the canned responses. And this is a dream come true for both the Republicans and the Democrats, and I'm a Republican, is while we're talking about all this, guess what? We don't have to worry about balancing the budget. We don't have to worry about fixing health care. We don't have to worry about a ton of different other things, because we can get all wound up with the Russians and the FBI director. And it's just amazing to sit back knowing how some of it works back there, and I get a headache. it's like the president's comment, well, you better be careful. There might be tapes. Now, either that was the smartest thing he ever said or the not smart. I hate to say dumb, but did you see how the sharks, both Democrats and Republicans, went off the deep end on over that? Now we have to have subpoenas if there is tapes and all that. Lindsey Graham has diarrhea of the mouth.
Well, Lindsey Graham was the only Republican who basically has said, okay, and I think he's hedging his bets, if you want to know the truth, because he's saying, I believe the president. Now let's produce those tapes and see what they say so we can prove him right. But on the other hand, you know, if they prove him wrong, I think Lindsey Graham will still be fine with it.
Yeah, it's like Maxine Waters out of California wanted the FBI director hung and flogged 4 months ago, or 5 months ago. Now she wants to know why he was a good guy and be fired. But
yeah, it's all about timing, isn't it?
It's timing, and the worst part of it is the American people, and I call them Joe and Jill Lunchbox. They're trying to make ends meet. They're trying to pay those health care, which they didn't get their choice of their doctor.
Yeah, Mike, I'm sorry. We're down to our last 12 seconds here. So thanks for your call, though. We appreciate you wrapping up the show. Rush Limbaugh comes up next after national news, then Michael Savage at 1 o'clock, Nate Shulman at 3, and Mark Levin at 7 on 670 KBOI. Have a great Monday.